Good to be in the house of the Lord again. We're going to start tonight in our service from Genesis chapter 1. Go back to the beginning. We'll preach to you tonight. We'll talk about where does the darkness go? Don't even know where it comes from, much less where it goes. But I tell you, when that sun goes down out in the Pacific, out there, darkness settles in. Where's the darkness been all day? The sun's been chasing it around the world, hadn't it? Where does the darkness go? I want you to put your thinking cap on tonight. Because dark and darkness, those two words appear 205 times in the Bible. And this is a very interesting study. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, put your thinking cap on now and visualize this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we know that He created it out of nothing. There was nothing there. He spoke it into existence. Now, here's the condition it was in to start with. You've all seen pictures, I'm sure. Television has enhanced a lot of our imagination. We've seen the formation of worlds, we've seen the stars as they go out, and we've seen the planets as they revolve in the heavens. Think of this. This planet Earth. The Earth was without form and void. And darkness. I want you to see it. This is the first mention of darkness in the Bible. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now we're going to find out a little while later in here that this earth was covered over with water. All the entire planet was covered over with water. And it was enshrouded in darkness. There was no dry land anywhere except the bottom of the ocean, and it wasn't dry.
It was wet.
It was wet, yeah. Think about that. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Covered over with water, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move over the face, over the surface of the waters that this world is encased in. And God said, now this is interesting because this is the first time that God has ever said anything. These are His first recorded words, okay? We always like to remember the first words whenever a child speaks, you know. And we remember people's last words. And God said, let there be light. Now picture it. We got a planet here covered with water. The Spirit of God is moving on the face of it. And God says, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now look, and God divided the light from the darkness. Separated, divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Where did the darkness go? God said, let there be light. Now, look, he did not create the sun. It was not the light of the sun. The sun was not created until later. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe that light came from an unveiling of his glory. But the light drove the darkness away. Where did the darkness go? Because light and darkness cannot coexist in the same place at the same time. If we were to flip the switches over there on the wall, this auditorium would be plunged into darkness. Darkness would come in. From where? Where does it come? I don't know where it comes from, where it goes to. But it would be here. But all you have to do is flip a switch or strike a match, and the smallest light will dispel darkness. Light is stronger than and more powerful than darkness, because light overcomes darkness. Now let's talk a little bit about Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. John writes in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life that was in Christ was the light of men, the light of men. Now, before the light came in, there was darkness. But the light of Christ drives out the darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, light is life. If light is life, then darkness is death. Light invades the domain of darkness. Satan is spoken of as being the ruler of darkness. And darkness resists the light. But the power of Christ, who is the light, will be victorious in spite of all of Satan's opposition. God called the light day, called the darkness night. On the fourth day of creation now, reading on down into this chapter, God will set lights in the heavens, up in the sky. And those lights will be there to divide the light from the darkness and the day from the night, and also to give light upon the earth, which it does. The greater light that rules the day is, we call it the sun, and the lesser light that rules the night is the moon. We've sent astronauts to the moon. The moon has no light of itself. It reflects the light of the sun. That's the reason why the moon glows up there, because the sun, wherever it is on the other side of the world, is shining on the moon, and the moon light reflects down on the earth. By the way, the word sun is not mentioned in the Bible for 2,092 years. It's not mentioned. The first time it's mentioned is in 1883 BC in the days of Abraham. And here's the context where the word son is first found in your Bible. Genesis 15, verse 12. And think about this. Here's Abraham. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Sounds scary, doesn't it? I mean, the sun went down and there was a great darkness that fell upon him. That's the first mention of the sun in the Bible. We're acquainted with Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 and 22 and 23. About the ninth plague that came upon the land of Egypt when Moses was down there trying to talk Pharaoh into releasing the Israelites from their bondage. Plague number 9, what was it? And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Now this is a supernatural darkness. Even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. But darkness, supernatural darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. You notice he didn't say 3 days and nights. Because the night's going to be dark anyway. 3 days. Now, what happened when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary? Do you remember that? There was a supernatural darkness that came upon the world from 12 noon to 3 p.m. 3 hours of supernatural darkness at a time when the sun was at its zenith. Luke chapter 23, verse 44 says, and it was about the sixth hour, that's high noon, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That's 3 of the 6 hours that Jesus was on the cross of Calvary when he paid the sin debt for our souls. Darkness. I like what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. Talking about the Lord, he said, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Psalm 119, verse 130. Remember this one? The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of God's words into our hearts, our minds, brings light, the light of understanding. Dispels the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of doubt. Did you know that most of the crimes of the wicked and ungodly people are committed in the darkness of night? Now, there are a lot of people out here that are bold. They go into banks in the daytime with guns. They stick them up, give me all your money. Go into various places like that. But I don't know. I don't think like criminals, I suppose. But I'm just thinking, if I were going to do something mean, nasty, low down, and dirty, I would wait until the sun went down, and I would put on something, wear dark clothing in the nighttime, because I wouldn't want anybody to recognize me or to see me. And that's when so many crimes are committed, under the cover of darkness. Well, listen to what Jesus said about it. He said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. This is John 3, verses 19 and 20. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. So we've got some people out here who are unsaved. They're unbelievers. They have never received Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe they've heard the gospel preached, but they've not been receptive to it. And they've rejected Christ. When the gospel is preached, it says of itself, Paul tells us that it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And here is what the gospel does. Remember, we've already used that scripture, the entrance of thy words giveth light. In Acts 26, verse 18, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. We're still doing that. We're still doing that. And it's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that turns, that drives away the darkness, isn't it? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that's a demonstration of how the entrance of his words gives light to our heart. He wrote about Jesus in Colossians 1:13 and said, who hath delivered us, that's you and me in that, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And his kingdom is kingdom of light. We have been translated. This is what salvation does. It translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amazing. See, that's something that only God can do. We can't do it ourselves. Now, after we're saved, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Why? Because we've been saved from that kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of light. And then Peter adds in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he's talking about us, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has, what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're talking about light and darkness here. Listen to what John writes, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie and do not the truth. If I say that I have fellowship with Jesus, but I'm walking in darkness, he says, you're lying. You do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship one with another. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, he that doeth truth comes to the light. He's not afraid of it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's not occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whence he goeth. Why? Because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And a person who's blind is, close your eyes and you can see. You're darkness, aren't you? When the eyes are blinded, you're in darkness. Well, that still hasn't answered our question. Where does the darkness go? If we were to turn the lights out and it would be dark in here, we would strike a match, we would see the light, but where does the darkness go? The prophet Joel wrote in Joel chapter 2, verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Brother Bryant's teaching on Friday nights out here on his chart, and he's teaching about when the day of the Lord comes. But think about that. The sun, yes, the one that God created up there in the heavens, will be turned into darkness. Now, for you and I to plunge this auditorium into darkness, we flip a switch. For God to turn the light of the sun off, all he has to do is flip a switch. And it's done. Oh, I know how your scientists, they tell you all about the sun and how hot it is. They've measured its temperature, and they know how far out into space the burning flames of the sun shoot out and all this stuff. They know a lot more about it than I do. But I know this, that God is the one that made it, and he's the one that keeps it going, and when he wants to turn it out, He doesn't have any problem at all. The one that said, let there be light, can say, let there be darkness, and there'll be darkness. Where does the light go? The darkness goes into the place of torment and suffering out of the presence of God, who is light. Let me give you some scriptures. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. He's talking about the wicked unbelievers. And he says, they shall be cast into outer darkness. Outer darkness. I remember hearing about these astronauts when they take off. We look up into the sky in the daytime and we can see, seems like into infinity out there. It just goes on and on and on. But don't these fellows, when they get in these rocket ships and shoot out here, that once they get away from the earth so far that they're in outer darkness? Isn't it dark out there? That's what I've heard. That is darkness. There's light like a halo, I guess, around the earth. But you can get outside the realm of light and you're in outer darkness. Jesus spoke about that here. Jude, verse 13, talks about raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. That must be stars that are out of control, that are just hurling through space. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness forever, Jude said, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. You know, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible tells us that. Wasn't prepared for man. Man goes there because he'd rather go to hell than to go to heaven. He has a choice. He spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. If they're in hell and they're in chains of darkness, then hell is darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Then in verse 17 of the same chapter, he says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest. You've seen the clouds, the light clouds up here, and the wind is blowing up above us, and the clouds are sailing through the heavens. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. There is a place of outer darkness, and it is eternal. It's an everlasting place. And that's where the darkness is. It's in hell. The blackness of darkness. Chains of darkness. The mist of darkness. But then, when we read in the last book of the Bible, we find what God tells us about the New Jerusalem, which is the dwelling place of the saints of God. And he tells us in Revelation 21, verse 23, and the city, the New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Isn't that wonderful? All right, go back over there to Genesis. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and that was 4 days before the sun started shining. There's that light. The glory of God is going to lighten the New Jerusalem, and it's going to reflect off of those streets of gold and those gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there. Night is darkness, isn't it? There'll be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. Giveth them light. You know, if I'm given a choice of light or darkness, I'm going to choose the light. If I'm given the choice of life and death, I'm going to choose life. If I'm given a choice of health or sickness, I'm going to choose health. If I'm given a choice of joy or sorrow, I'm going to choose joy. If I'm given a choice of rewards or punishment, I'm going to choose rewards. And since I've been given the choice of heaven or hell, I'm going to choose heaven. Since I'm given a choice of serving Jesus or Satan, I'm going to serve Jesus. Am I making the right choice? What's your choice, light or darkness? I like the light better, don't you? Where's the light go? The light goes everywhere. Where's the darkness go? Darkness is going down to that place of punishment. Cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the options that mankind has. And not everybody knows that. And it's our job to tell them, isn't it? They're not going to know unless somebody tells them. Calls it to their mind. God's put light and darkness in this world, day and night. So man knows there's darkness, man knows there's light.
God told us.
The entrance of His Word gives light.
We wouldn't know without the Word.
That's right. Wouldn't know it without the Word.